This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, midweek Wednesday afternoon, February 26th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Warmer weather means golf season is moving closer. We'll preview what's ahead in our next segment. But right now, chip giant NVIDIA reports quarterly earnings today after the bell, with investors focused on forward guidance amid concerns that key customers may cut back on spending. Let's preview the release with Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And in recent months, I have said that the NVIDIA quarterly earnings call day is now up there with an employment report or a Fed policy decision in terms of being a market mover. And that's a case of kidding on the square. I mean, this is a day that everybody is kind of making some bets around. It has the potential to be a massive market mover. And have there been other stocks throughout history that have had this level of weight in terms of how the market moves?
Yes, there have been. And it is usually, I would not say always, but almost always, it's an indication of just how risky the market is. Because if the market becomes so dependent on one or two stocks, in this case, it seems to be one stock that seems to be moving the market, that has to be an indication of just how risky the market is. A healthy market is one in which gains are well distributed across corporate America, and so you're not as dependent on one stock. But right now, as you say, and quite rightly, the market is waiting with bated breath to see what the earnings are. And of course, no one really knows. I mean, everything that we already know, it's matter of course in the markets, that anything we already know is already reflected in market prices. And so this is something that really is close to a coin flip. And I would hate to have my investments or my trading strategies dependent on something that's as risky as that.
And when it comes to NVIDIA and why it has, why it is such a big deal, is that in previous quarters it has exceeded guidance by a substantial margin. It always kind of surprises to the upside, but as you point out, at one point that stops, and if you're priced for perfection, that's not a sustainable way to move forward.
Well, absolutely, we've already put into the market prices, not just for NVIDIA, but for the market as a whole, a very, very optimistic story, a narrative that we tell that AI is going to transform corporate America and increase productivity and so forth, that the profit margin will go up and GDP growth will go up and so forth. So we have a very optimistic story, and all it takes is perhaps it still can be a very encouraging story, but not quite as optimistic. That's going to cause the market to go down, because we've already anticipated all the best news that we can imagine.
And then you mentioned this is not the sign of necessarily healthy market that one particular company and one particular stock carries so much weight. But there seems to be some indications, you know, talking about how it's broadening out and that maybe AI is not the whole show anymore.
Well, I think that's right. And so I think the thing to look at in NVIDIA's earnings report today won't be necessarily its earnings, because this is going to be earnings for the fourth quarter of last year. And we have to remember that the DeepSeek story that hit the market and took the market down quite a bit a couple of weeks ago occurred in January. So really the part of the earnings report that we should be paying attention to is what NVIDIA anticipates its earnings will be in the coming quarter or two, and if they have already seen a drop in anticipated or front-loaded orders from companies who think that they now no longer need to pay for the very expensive chips from NVIDIA.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, warming temperatures have more people looking to scratch their golf itch. We'll talk about it next.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Golf season in Chicago typically runs from April until November, but the recent warm-up is already sparking thoughts of what's to come. We welcome in Amy Coghill, manager at Silver Lake Country Club in Orland Park. Amy, thank you for joining us today. And once again, I say this all the time you're on the show. With a name like Coghill, Amy, it seems like a life in golf was preordained for you.
I know. I'm one of the luckiest people around to be born into one of the funnest industries.
Now, a week ago, we were talking about wind chill warnings, temperatures below zero, and then yesterday, it was a glorious day. Sunny skies. It was a kind of day where you'd open the windows and drive around with the window down. But you can't necessarily de-winterize and turn a golf course on a dime. So if you want to accommodate all those people on a day like yesterday who are really, you know, itching to go out there and play a quick nine, how do you accommodate them?
Well, one of the things that golfers need to consider is that, you know, all the damage that's being done this time of the year is gonna last until, you know, regular golf season. So that's why golf courses are apprehensive about opening up this time of the year. But we just want to make sure that, you know, the temperatures are warm enough and that, you know, we might have a little rain, because we want to make sure that the ground underneath is draining properly, so it's not like a mucky mess out there, you know, damage the course. We're probably going to open up in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, but there's also snow in the forecast, so you never know.
Now, are there some facilities that are still open year-round? Because I remember reading a story in the Tribune many years ago that talked about how, you know, the late legendary radio personality Larry Lujack, who was a big golfer, on a day in January of 1985, when the high temperature was 20 below zero, he played golf, and he later admitted that was really stupid. But there were places that were open on a day when it was 20 below zero. So does that continue into Chicago to this day?
Absolutely. You know, I can think of two courses that's their thing, open 365 days a year, and you can go play depending on how crazy you are. A lot of golf courses will have, you know, like an Eskimo Open where you can go and play in the snow, and everybody brings their clubs dragged behind on a sled and brings off brooms so they can clean off the greens. Yeah.
And then, but generally, it's the beginning or the middle of March when everybody just feels like it's safe enough to really just start the season. And the occasional errant snowstorm notwithstanding, the confidence is there, and the greenskeepers and the grounds crew basically has the course ready to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to pretty much have it ready to go because, like you said, the weather can turn on a dime and it could be perfect conditions to get them on out there. And, you know, we have a limited season, so any opportunity to send out golfers, we'd absolutely love to have them.
From a business perspective, what does that random 68 degree or 75 degree or fingers crossed 80 degree day in March or April mean as far as kind of goosing the early season business for a golf course?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely can be extra helpful because it's, you know, pure profit, if you will, right? Those are rounds that we didn't expect, didn't budget for, and, you know, really puts us in a great position so then we can work on more projects throughout the season.
Amy Coghill, manager at Silver Lake Country Club in Orland Park, thank you for joining us today. And they plan on opening in the next few weeks, weather permitting. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, it's time for the annual Parade of Punchki.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Fat Thursday is tomorrow in Chicago, marking the start of pre-Lenten festivities with traditional Polish pastries. Others prefer Fat Tuesday, which is next Tuesday, for their Punchki. We're joined by Dobra Belinsky, founder and owner of Delightful Pastries. You can find them at Austin and Lawrence in Chicago's Jefferson Park neighborhood. Dobra, thank you for joining us today. And before we talk about Fat Thursday and Fat Tuesday and all of the fat days in between, Dobra, let's talk about just the history of the punchki, because as I understand, it was a way for bakers to essentially clean out the cabinet before Lent begins on Ash Wednesday.
That's correct. You know, in Poland, in the medieval times, the Polish king would throw these fat Thursday parties, and everything was fried. You know, fried fish, fried dough, because you had to use up all your eggs, all your sugar, all your butter, because, you know, back then they really celebrated Lent, and nobody ate any sweets or anything that was like, you know, fancy when we had, during Lent time. So that's why in Poland we have Fat Thursday, and in the rest of the world we have Fat Tuesday, and Polish people get to double dip in America.
Now, I was going to say, I mean, I'm familiar with Fat Tuesday, and you don't need to twist my arm to find another day of the week in which one can consume mass quantities of punchkis. But outside of Chicago's Polish community, is Fat Thursday, you know, generally well known?
You know what? No, it isn't. It's only Fat Thursday's only in Poland. So, you know, it comes as a shocker when my American friends find out that we have, you know, a lot of Polish customers waiting in line, picking up punchki tomorrow. So, you know, it's also one of the other stories about Fat Thursday is that it was the first, like, Polish women were striking against the mayor of Krakow, and they decided to protest by making fried dough at the market. So I guess you could call it the first women's union labor strike in medieval Poland.
You know what, Dobra? Any opportunity to celebrate, we'll take it. Now, from a dollars and cents perspective, for your business and for bakeries all across Chicago, I did a donut pickup at another facility on Sunday morning, and they had the sign saying, if you want to get punchkis either on Thursday or next Tuesday, you better sign up now, because they're going to be gone if you just walk into the store next Tuesday. So how much preparation do you put into your punchki making, and how much money do you make off of it?
So, you know what? It is a great holiday because we're only making one product. So we've been prepping for it for about a whole month already. And we've been prepping for a whole month already for it. So, you know, it takes a lot to get everything ready. We've got to make the custards, the jams, the preserves, the jellies, the icing, the dough. You know, you can't do it overnight. And we've got thousands of punchkis on order for Fat Tuesday. And so a lot of people pick it up on the Monday before. We're also open this Sunday. So if you want to, you know, avoid the mayhem on Fat Tuesday, some people come in on Sunday. We're open from 9 till 3. That's the only Sunday we're open during the year.
Thousands of punchkis. That is what you guys are making. Now, I, as an amateur baker, if I make like a dozen muffins, that is an accomplishment for an entire week. So very quickly, just the assembly line process of making this happen, just how much time do you spend in the kitchen pushing those punchkis out the door?
So, you know what? A lot of people don't realize how much labor it is. It's, you know, we have to make the dough. That's about an hour and a half. Then we have to weigh it, and we have to divide each one into little pieces. Then we have to shape it. Then we have to proof it for about a couple hours. Then we have to let it dry a little bit. Then we have to fry it. Then we have to glaze it. Then we have to stuff it. You see where I'm going with this?
I'm going to say, you know what, Dobra?
It's 7 hours from beginning to end just to get the product. And, you know, people come up to me and they're like, why can't you sell it for 50 cents or a dollar? Have you seen the price of eggs in the store, sweetie?
Well, so when you bite into that first punchki, whether it's Thursday or Tuesday, you can taste the love and the labor that goes into each one. Dobra Belinsky, founder and owner of Delightful Pastries, Austin and Lawrence in Chicago's Jefferson Park neighborhood. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. We're learning more about the man Chicago police say is responsible for the murders of six people. A budget blueprint takes a step forward in Washington. It's Personal Finance Wednesday, reasons to avoid social media as a financial advisor. Lower inventories mean higher prices for used car buyers. WBBM Business, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down 237 points. The NASDAQ is up 53. The S&P 500 is down 1. We have 47 degrees right now under partly sunny skies. It's 12:31, topping our news at the half hour. Prosecutors say a suspect in a string of five murders across the South and Southwest sides nearly 5 years ago was already in jail awaiting trial for a sixth murder. They filed new charges against 21-year-old Antonio Reyes for five shooting deaths between April and November of 2020, as well as four charges of attempted murder. Police Superintendent Larry Snelling told reporters at Chicago Police Headquarters last hour that three of the cases tied to the suspect involved victims under the age of 10.
When you think of children from the ages of 3 to 9 who were fired upon, if I'm a family member of those people, I want justice also. And I just want everyone to know that that's what we're working toward.
WBBM's Terry Keschner talked to the superintendent. He'll have much more coming up at 103. President Trump crafted spending plan moving forward in Congress.
On Capitol Hill.
The ayes are 217. The nays are 215. Majority voting in the affirmative. The concurrent resolution is adopted.
House Republicans muscled their budget blueprint to passage.
We got it done.
House Speaker Mike Johnson.
We have a lot of hard work ahead of us, but we are going to deliver the America First agenda. We're going to deliver all of it, not just parts of it, and this was the first step in that process.
President Trump made calls to push reluctant Republicans to sign on to what he's called a big, beautiful bill, with $4.5 trillion in tax breaks and $2 trillion in spending cuts. Next, what's expected to be a weeks-long process, drafting details and merging the plan with the Senate's.
A lot of work yet to be done, but we're going to celebrate tonight, and we'll roll up our sleeves and get right back at it in the morning.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are mixed right now. Joining us with the latest and what's moving Wall Street is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade in Chicago. J.J., thank you for joining us today. And when the session began, it looked like it was going to be a day of solid gains for the three major indices, but the Dow is selling off just a little bit. What did anything in particular happen to explain that about face?
See, two things. I think a little bit of selling pressure had begun. Some nervousness, I think, around NVIDIA's earnings still are starting to come across the market overall. We have Bitcoin now down trading to 85,000. So you just have a few different things adding up. And one of the other things that we're seeing is the VIX, which is, you know, we talk about occasionally when I'm on with you, is getting up near 20. And usually a VIX at 20 starts to tell people, hey, there might be a little more concern. We've just seen consistent pressure on the market over the last few sessions. It's happening again. And I think there's really so much pressure, if you will, on these NVIDIA earnings tonight to sort of help turn things around and get some confidence back into the tech sector in general.
Now, what does that mean for the market in general if everybody is biting their fingernails and hoping that NVIDIA delivers another perfect blowout report and that their self-esteem and that their feelings about the economy are riding on that one particular data point?
Yeah, it really is a bit difficult, isn't it, when you see one thing? And maybe, now we've also seen this in the past, Rob, where this much-anticipated event comes and sort of goes and we regroup a little bit. So I'm hoping that if they are bad earnings, that that's exactly what happens. Now, this is a company, again, for their fiscal 2024, beat earnings every single quarter. So that's pretty impressive. And if you look at the options market is pricing in about a 9% move here based on the earnings. So anybody who is playing in there, yes, if it goes your way, that's great, but you have to be able to stomach both ends of that, of that scale, so to speak. So please keep that in mind for those who want to jump in before earnings, as they think they know which way they're going to go.
It also seems like AI as a whole is in a period of transition, that a lot of the lofty expectations of what AI could be are being recalibrated now in the face of what AI is and our experience with it. And it seems like the market has been kind of going along with it gradually. So even if NVIDIA disappoints, it may not be a gigantic shock.
I think it's a great point, Rob. And, one of the things, I think we had that DeepSeek news probably, I guess it's 3.5 weeks ago now. And with that, I think that helped to shake up the AI industry. Now, as we saw, what they were reporting may not have been comparing apples to apples in terms of cost. But what I think it did, and we saw more and more on some of the earnings calls, was say, hey, to your point, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars on AI. Besides giving middle schoolers a chance to cheat on their tests, what has it really done? Cool answers. What has it really done for us? Now, we all know that the possibilities are absolutely amazing, and we have seen some great work done. But at what point is there going to be an ROI measurement for this in terms of the amount of money put in and what are we getting back in a return? And I don't think anybody has satisfactorily answered that question so far. So to your point, I think that that's what's caused some of these AI stocks to use the word return to earth a little bit, but at least getting asked some very difficult questions about, you know, at what point do we stop just throwing cost with no return?
J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade in Chicago.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday. Social media platforms, including YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok, are packed with misleading financial advice. Let's discuss the dangers with Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago. The website is engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thank you for
joining us today. And I love this topic. I love this conversation, and it's one that we could have for maybe an hour or two. It's a way to not only work out our frustrations with just some of the bad information that's in the ether, but also just some of the bad information that's coursing through social media. I've got some of the low lows that I've come across. So what are some of your low lights?
Rob, you know, bad financial advice is nothing new. And the problem today is that the access to this harmful information is greater than it's ever been. And some of the advice, as you sort of outlined by some of these influencers, can create havoc on your finances if you're not careful and if you don't do additional due diligence.
And some of the just bad pieces of advice that are out there. I mean, outside of just, you know, bad examples from influencers who are telling you that you could live this fabulous life if you only do X, Y, and Z. People who are encouraging you to get payday loans. People who tell you that renting is a waste of time and money. And then on the other side of the coin, people saying that you should never use a credit card at all.
Yeah, and this is exactly the outline, Rob. You know, these are like maybe rules of thumb, but as all your listeners know, we all have our individual thumbprint. And so when it comes to personal finances, make sure it is in your best interest. And so let's use the example of no credit cards, right? Credit cards are not bad. They're bad if you have built up balances and you're paying high interest rates, but what a great way to build up your credit and your credit scores through credit cards. So just eschewing credit cards because they're quote unquote financially evil or they have high rates are for folks who have very large balances. Let's focus again on you know, let's say renting versus, you know, buying a house. This is a very popular topic given, you know, how costly it is to buy a house and that people, you know, renting is throwing away money. Well, you know, that could be the case in terms of, you know, you paying a landlord, but for some people, renting works really well. And so when you look at these different elements, you want to make sure that the information that the person is giving, the person who's behind the information, is actually a professional who knows what they're talking about and not trying to dissuade you or persuade you one way or the other to, you know, sort of the financial ditch in the road, if you would.
And then some of the financial influencers, the ones who are the one, they shoot the video around the fancy car or in the mansion or on the private jet and say, I followed principles X, Y, and Z, and you can too, and that's why I'm a millionaire at the age of 23. It's almost like there should be a disclaimer that says, he rented the car. He's they're selling the mansion. It's a model home. He doesn't really own these things.
Yeah, the whole notion of everything we see online is truth is obviously further from the fact. And so we see this time again where influencers who have these great followers, all of a sudden the curtain is pulled and we really see what's behind, you know, what's going on. Like you said, the rented car or the rented house. And so there is no get-rich-quick scheme. I can't impart that enough upon your listeners. Wealth is built over time, right? Methodical savings, good investing, and built over time. Yes, you can get an inheritance or win the lottery or whatever it is like that, but that is so far in between. So again, if you have an influencer you're looking at, make sure the advice is good, but trust, but verify. If you're hearing information, go to other quality resources besides just this influencer or finfluencer. So be very cautious in your approach. And again, remember, it's a rule of thumb and not your own individual financial plan. So make sure that advice and the guidance fits, Rob.
And then lastly, I think this is something that I see quite a bit, and this is kind of dovetails into the idea of doom scrolling, where the people who have the most pessimistic outlook on life are the ones who are rewarded by the algorithm. And if you look at that, you may believe that you cannot get that job, you're unable to be hired, that you should accept less in your career because that's all you're going to get. And that, to me, may be more pernicious than just following some bad advice from a financial influencer.
You know, in my line of work, you have to be an optimist, right? You always have to look forward at the future. There will be days that are kind of dark. It's just the nature of the economy and the nature of markets and the nature of just life itself. So trying to have an optimistic outlook is really important. But when it comes to personal finances, that's where the optimism is really helpful, right? So you're not trying to put yourself into a dark corner, and people tend to surround themselves with darkness. So try to seek the light, if you would, right? Seek out people who are more positive, who are more general ideas, to help you move forward in life and not step back, especially financially.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The used car market is facing a supply shortage. Joining us to discuss what that means for buyers is John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. John, thank you for joining us today. And a couple of years ago, the used car market was one of the hottest things going just because of the post-COVID manufacturing disruptions, the issues involving getting chips inside new cars. So everybody was looking to used cars, and it seems like that hasn't really abated in the past 3 years.
You're exactly right there, Rob. Supply is still tight. Prices are still high. It's probably not going to come down anytime soon. A key reason, like you said, is the slump in car sales when COVID hit, and then there was the chip shortage. So there was a shortage of cars. And, you know, the greatest source of used cars is the new car market. So if we're not making as many new cars, it's going to show up in a few years that there's a shortage in the used car market. Also, a lot of people leased cars. They're coming off their lease right now. And, you know, there's just not as many lease cars going into the used car market. In fact, you go back just a year or two ago, a lot of people, when their lease came to an end, they bought their car because the new cars were so expensive, it was cheaper for them to buy their car off lease. Put it all together, that's why you see tight supply in the used car market and why prices are as high as they are.
And then what about the rental car market as far as or fleet sales? I mean, is that another big source of the used cars, the certified pre-owned vehicles that you would see at a dealership? A lot of stuff, you know, they had their year or two with Hertz or Avis, and now they could belong to you?
Oh, great point. Great point. Although it's not a year or two. Most lease companies, rental companies, the daily rentals, keep a car until it's got about 30,000 miles on it. They don't mind putting in new windshield wipers or oil changes, but they don't want to start changing tires and brakes and stuff like that. So they sell it. And when the COVID pandemic hit, everybody's in lockdown, corporate travel especially throttled way back. So did vacations and the like. The daily rental companies just did not buy as many cars. And like I said, they keep them to about 30,000 miles. Typically takes them 6 to 8 months to put that many miles on a car. Then they sell it in the used car market. And that's another source or lack of source of good used cars coming into the market.
John McElroy, automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv in Detroit. Thank you for joining us today.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.